Today, I want to speak to you about the double portion blessing. The double portion blessing. And you see that on your screen up there. The double portion blessing. How many of y'all would like to have a double portion blessing? Not just one blessing, but two. double portion. Even those watching online today. We're glad that you're with us. Wherever you're watching online right now, you can have a double portion blessing also. Let's give them a hand and welcome them online right now. Yeah, we're glad y'all are there, wherever you are. I want to lay some groundwork in Scripture. This is double portion blessing. It's not something that I just invented this week. It's not something that I just saw on TV this week and thought it was cool or anything like that. The double portion blessing is in Scripture. It's all through Scripture. And it starts in the Old Testament. And one of the first places we see it described is Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter, in the 15th verse. So I'm going to spend just a minute. Y'all put your thinking caps on. Get out something to take notes on, whatever. Just join me on this ride for a second. I'm going to lay some scriptural groundwork for you. And then we're going to really take off. So Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter and the 15th verse says this. Suppose a man has two wives, but he loves one and not the other, and both have given him sons. Let's stop there for a second and let's just say it's never a good idea to have two wives. Okay? Let's just get that out of the way. I think men and women both would agree. It's just not a good idea, okay? Just not. So this scripture, to be clear, is not condoning that. It's not suggesting that. It's just hypothetically. Let's just say hypothetically, you did have two wives. You loved one but not the other. Suppose the firstborn son is the son of the wife he does not love. When the man divides his inheritance, he may not give the larger inheritance to his younger son, the son of the wife he loves, as if he were the firstborn son. He must recognize the rights of the oldest son, the son of the wife he does not love, by giving him a double portion. He is the son. He's the first son of his father's virility, and the rights of the firstborn belong to him. Okay, a lot there, right? Two wives, he loves one, doesn't love the other. And his firstborn son comes from the wife that he doesn't really love. So that's not the point. Here's the point. When it comes to giving the inheritance, the double portion inheritance, the double portion blessing, it has to go on the firstborn son, whether that son comes from a mom that the dad loves or not. It has to come on whoever was the firstborn. All right, that's part of the groundwork that has to be laid from the Old Testament. He was given a double portion. The firstborn son was given a double portion. But, here's a but, this is a big one. In order to receive that double portion blessing, he had to take the role of the firstborn son, which meant that there was responsibility to take care of the family. If you're the firstborn son, then eventually you would take the role of father over the whole household. And in those days and times, their household covered more than just mom, dad, and kids. It was a broad umbrella, and there would be one man that was responsible. If so-and-so has a need in the household, it was up to the father of the household to take care of that need. And so the firstborn son would be the person that would take that role when the father died. Are y'all still with me? Okay. So because he has that responsibility to take care of the family, he's going to get the double portion blessing from God, from the Father. So the Bible's clear. He doesn't get this double portion because he's preferred. He doesn't get this double portion because he was loved more. He doesn't get this double portion because he acted right. He gets the double portion because he's a firstborn son. It doesn't matter who his mom is either. He gets it because he's a firstborn son. So he has responsibility on him, and he gets a double portion blessing. He knew, I'm the dad. Someday it's going to be up to me. If somebody has a need, I'm going to have to meet it. When we go to the New Testament, the Bible says that Jesus is the firstborn of the New Testament. Romans, the 8th chapter and the 29th verse. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among brothers and sisters. You've read that scripture before. You may not have no idea why that was a big deal. Now you know. Firstborn was very, very important. Firstborn son. The status is on Jesus as firstborn. Colossians 1:17 goes on, says, he existed before anything else. He holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He's the beginning, supreme, over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. Jesus was before all things happened. Jesus didn't just happen in the New Testament. Jesus has been around forever. He's eternal. He's God. So he was the firstborn. He's the first child. Jesus is first. But he's not only just the first child. He's the first to rise from the dead also. The Bible's saying that we all are going to rise from the dead someday. But Jesus was the first to do that. Now, in Jesus, we see in one person, someone fully living out the firstborn responsibility. When you see Jesus, you see him being the Father's representative. You see him loving all those who God loved. You see him laying down his life for the family, right? In Jesus, you see that. Now, in Jesus, you see a double portion blessing. Jesus is blessed. Crazy, but he also has that firstborn status on him. So here's the good news I want to share with you, and this is a pivotal moment in the whole day. In Jesus, every person in the body of Christ is a firstborn son. Okay, I got to say that one more time. If you are a believer in Jesus, you are a firstborn son. Okay, let me say that one more time. When you receive Jesus in your life, you're adopted in the family, but your role is not just step or cousin or whatever, half. No, you are a firstborn son. Now, women, I know you may struggle with this, being a firstborn son. Us men have to deal with being in the bride of Christ, okay? So, we're in the bride of Christ, you're a son. Okay, just get over that. Whatever. Okay. Firstborn child. Firstborn son status. Look what the scripture says in Hebrews 12. He's talking about Esau and Jacob. Y'all remember the story? Esau was the firstborn son of Isaac. And so Esau was the one to get the double portion blessing. But what does Esau do? Esau sold his firstborn son status to his younger brother for a bowl of soup. How odd is that? He sold his firstborn right status, his double portion blessing, to his brother. Some of y'all have heard that story before. That's going to bring a little more context to that story. The writer of Hebrews talks about that And then he talks about how all the Israelites would have to go to Mount Sinai. That's where God gave them the Ten Commandments. And they had this journey and had this process that they had to go through. But when he talks to us, he says, do we go to Mount Sinai in New Testament church, Promised Land? Do we go to Mount Sinai? He says, no, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come, listen to this, you have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children. You have come, everybody in here that receives Jesus, everybody in here that lays your life down and follows after Jesus, you have come into the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. Whenever in the Old Testament that family had a firstborn son, they would take him to the priest, and the priest would record his name in the annals of the church. They would record that this young man, Nathaniel, whatever his name was, he is the firstborn of this family. He was recorded. When you are born again, the Bible is very clear. When you were born again and you have surrendered your heart to Jesus, your name is written down in heaven as a firstborn child of God. You're a firstborn child of God. One of the places in the Bible says that that's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus' Book of Life. You're written down in God's book as a firstborn child of God. You can walk in a double portion blessing, but you're also going to have a firstborn status on you as well. So let's go to a story in the Bible. I want to show you how this plays out. How the disciples were learning this just like you and I are learning this. They didn't get it to begin with either. They were following Jesus. They were listening to him and all that, and they still didn't get it. So don't feel too bad if you don't know what I'm talking about today, because the disciples lived with Jesus, and they didn't get it either. But there's a moment when it came to the surface. Jesus was preaching, and he was just going at it for hours. And the disciples looked around like, at intermission or whatever, they went to Jesus and said, look, these people are tired, they're getting antsy, they're hungry. We got to get them something to eat. And this is what they said to Jesus, Mark 6:36. Send the crowds away so they can go to nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat. But Jesus said, what? You feed them. This is the transition. This is a moment where the disciples learned what it was like to be firstborn kids of God. We don't send people away, we feed them because we're firstborn. That's what he's saying. With what, they asked? We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. How much bread do you have? He asked them. Go and find out. They came back and reported, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up to heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted. They all ate as much as they wanted. Did y'all hear that? They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets. That's a very important number, 12. How many disciples are there? There's 12. There's 12 baskets left over. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. They had big families, so probably 20,000 people at least were fed with one basket. So this is what happened. They came to They noticed that there was a need. They went to Jesus with the need, and Jesus says, you are firstborn, you feed them. Well, we don't have that much. Give me what you have, and I'll multiply it, and then you feed them. Look at the participation between God and people. This is so important. Sometimes we feel like we're the disciples. We're just going to sit on the sideline. Let's see what God does here. What God says is, hey, you're my kids. You're involved with this. You're a firstborn. I want you to participate. I want you to feed them. I want you to give me what you've got. I'll multiply it, and then you feed them. And so the disciples, the 12 disciples, took one basket. And so I want you to think about it this way. These 12 disciples had a 1/12 ownership in this basket. And they decided, we're gonna give our 1/12 ownership in this one basket to Jesus. It's all we've got. We're going to give it to him instead of going like, well, man, maybe we should take our own little, let's take a little bit of fish and bread before he gets it. They didn't do that. They just gave him the whole basket. And then when it was all said and done, everybody got everything that they needed. And then there was 12 doggy baskets left over, 12 doggy bags left over. 12. I think that's so amazing. They gave to Jesus what they had, and then they got a full one back. They started with a 12th, and they got a whole one back. When they put what they had in Jesus' hands, something happened. Something happened when the servant, when the firstborn son recognized their role, and they recognized their position with God, they understood their responsibility. And so until we take responsibility for the people that God loves, which he loves everybody, until we take responsibility for the people God loves, we will never live in the double portion blessing. We want double portion blessing, but we have to understand that we have a responsibility for the people that God loves. And he loves everybody. Let me say it like this. Maybe this is a better way to say it. Before the blessing of the double portion falls on us, the spirit of the firstborn must fill us. Think about that. Before the blessing of the double portion falls on us, that means everybody's being fed. Everything's going, yeah, oh, double portion blessing. Love it. Before that happens, we have to understand our role as a firstborn son, that we have responsibility in our life. Jesus exposes the issue of why people in San Marcos and Kyle and New Braunfels and wherever you are, wherever you're watching from online, he's exposing why we don't participate in this. He's exposing the mentality of the disciples versus his mentality. Philip said to him, this is going to take more than a half year's wages. Are we going to go and spend that much on bread and give them something to eat? Jesus doesn't even respond to that. That's not the way God thinks. That's man's way of thinking. Jesus says, you give them something to eat. You give and let God be God. Jesus is exposing the disciples' mindset. If it's one word to describe their mindset, it would be scarcity. Or maybe poverty would be a better word. A poverty mentality. We don't have enough. We're not going to make it. We can't even feed ourselves. How can we help anybody else? That's the disciples' mentality. Before they understood their position and identity as a firstborn son. But Jesus' mentality was abundance mentality. With God as our Father, we will never run out. When God is blessing, he's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Instead of having this poverty mentality, scarce mentality, not enough mentality, living by sight and not by faith mentality, there'll never be enough. But when we start understanding Jesus' power and our role as a firstborn child of God, we're never going to live in that abundance, never going to live in that double portion blessing. Jesus says to them, you feed them first. You give what you've got. And I'll worry about the multiplying. So the disciples gave what they had to Jesus, and the blessing came. And this is really what Jesus is saying. When I find a heart that puts me first, that's a heart that I can entrust the abundance of the double portion blessing. When I find a heart, when I find a vessel, a person that will surrender themselves to this role of being a firstborn son and understand that you have a right and a role and a responsibility. Man, that would be a great 3-point sermon right there, but I didn't do that. So let's keep going. You have a right, a role, and a responsibility as a firstborn. When you grasp that, it makes yourself available to that double portion blessing. And so in Promised Land, this is who we are. When you gathered in here today, when you got in here today, you became a part of the assembly of the firstborn. Look beside you. I know you don't want to. Look at those people. You don't have to talk to them. Just look at them, okay? Just look at them. That, believe it or not, is a firstborn. Remember what the Old Testament said. It has nothing to do with the way you look. It has nothing to do with who your mom was. It has nothing to do with your skin color or where you grew up or what happened in your past. No, it's only because you're a firstborn. It's your identity. This is the assembly of the firstborn. That's what Romans 8 said. That's what we read earlier. Assembly of the firstborn. So at Promised Land, this is who we are. This is what we do. We act like firstborn people because that's who we are. That's our identity. When we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into being a firstborn son of God. And so that's what we do, is we start looking with the eyes of Jesus, listening with the ears of the Father, trying to figure out how can we participate in the brokenness of this world? How can we build the kingdom of God? How am I not loving the people that God loves? And God loves everybody. How could we be a part of that? So at Promised Land, we're always continually going to be pressing that and pushing that and trying to give you opportunities to be a part of the blessing of God. Being a part of being a firstborn. If you want to receive the double portion blessing of God, which is awesome and amazing, then we have to step into that firstborn status. And so things like in the coming weeks, we're going to be sending you information, coming days actually, we're going to be sending you information on how you can go out to Highland Lakes and Horseshoe Bay and Marble Falls and help clean out houses that were flooded. Wow, that sermon just took a turn right there, didn't it? At first, you're like, I want the double portion blessing. Yeah. Clean out houses? Moldy? Yes. Because that's what firstborn kids do. That's what kids of the Father do. That's what we do. We run to those who have a need. Jesus, help those people in Marble Falls. Bless them, God. No, you help them. No, you take off of work. No, you spend a Saturday. You're a firstborn. Well, I don't have the time. It's so far out there, and oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. If you'll just give me what you have, that's what Jesus is saying. If you'll just give me what you have, I will do the rest. We saw that here in San Marcos in 2015. People coming here to San Marcos to help us clean out our flooded homes. And saw miracle after miracle happen in homes in San Marcos when just ordinary people put on gloves and a dust mask and began to do dirty things, dirty work for people in need. I'm proud to be a part of a church that sends out over $100,000 a year to people in need. People that are outside of the walls of Promised Land. That's a part of our budget. It's just going to happen. We're just going to do that. And that's other countries. That's a part of the U.S. That's to help church plant churches. But that's also for people in this community right here that are in need and need a step up and need help finding jobs and need help finding a house and needing help getting a car and needing help with college and whatever it is. This church is a group of firstborn people. It's an assembly of firstborn people. That's what we do because that's who we are. So, welcome to the family, everybody. If you didn't know it, I want to share one other thing, and then we're gonna close. But when Jesus took that bread, it says he broke it, and we know that means that he took the literal bread and they broke it. That was a part of their tradition. But I also believe that something else was broken when they gave their offering to God. Something was broken over their life, and it was that poverty mentality, that idea that there is not enough. This is a spirit that can be over you, a dark, negative spirit that can be passed down from generation to generation, or it could be based on where you grew up or the region that you're a part of or the race that you're a part of or whatever, that you're not going to be equal, you're not going to be enough, all these things. I'm just believing that that's going to be broken over people's lives that are in Promised Land, that are in a part of the church of God, that could be broken over your life, and you're not subject to that spirit. You're not bound by that spirit anymore, but instead you have the abundance mentality that Jesus is trying to get us to participate in. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 9, 7 says, you must decide in your heart how much fish and loaves that you're going to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives their loaves and fishes cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and have plenty left over to share with others. So here's the deal. If you live in that mindset of fear and scarcity, that there's not enough, I'm going to run out, your life is marked by fear and anxiety, that's not God's purpose for you. The enemy wants you to believe that you're not going to make it. The devil wants you to live in a constant state of that I'll not have enough. That's the lie of the enemy. Jesus has come to bring abundant life. Jesus has come to break the curse of sin off of your life. Jesus came to change your status, your identity, and bring you into the double portion blessing. Prosperity and blessing is not about being rich. It's simply about having enough to do what God has called you to do. That's so good. Some of you have been influenced over the last couple weeks with the spirit of the lottery. I would be more generous if I had more money. I would be more generous if I had more money. Let me tell you something. If generosity is a problem for you, it's not a money problem. It's an identity problem. If you're struggling with being generous, it's not because you don't have enough. It's because you don't understand who you are. You're a firstborn child of God. Look at this picture. Let's put this other picture up on the screen. That picture needs no interpretation, does it? You have a 1 in 302 million chance of winning the lottery, the Powerball. I know some of you think there's power in the Powerball, okay? You have a 1 in 302 million chances of winning the lottery. You have a 1 in 1 chance of being blessed by God when you surrender to Him. Why do you compromise your firstborn status and give it away when you let your mind wander to think about all these other sources? And I know most of y'all aren't trusting in the lottery to make your life successful or anything, but we trust in our boss, or we trust in our work, or we trust in our education, or we trust in how many people like us, or whatever. We trust in all these other things, giving up our firstborn status with God. I'm telling you, it's a 1 in 1 chance that you're going to be blessed. That means everyone gets blessed when you're a firstborn child of God. In 2002, Erica and I were making a combined household income of $36,000 a year, and we had a little baby, a one-year-old daughter, and we qualified for food stamps. So Erica would go through the grocery line getting milk and cheese and eggs or whatever using her WIC card. And we were kicked off of traditional insurance because of our daughter's condition. She had special needs, and so she had so many pre-existing conditions that the insurance kicked us off, and we had to go into what's called the insurance risk pool, and it was hundreds of dollars just for her to have insurance, and then a lot of expenses. So we were spending $700 to $800 a month on our daughter's medical expenses. And living in a little duplex in South Austin. And before you start feeling too sorry for us, we had a wonderful life. And in that season, there was not one month that we said, will we give to God this month? We did everything we could in order to continue to put God first, because we knew who we were. We didn't do it out of guilt. We didn't do it out of compulsion or out of any sort of tension or anything like that, a religious tradition. We knew who we were. We knew who our Father was. And so we ate a lot of refried beans. Come on, somebody. Thank God for a lot of calories and energy you can get from beans. Yes. Never once. And then to think, over the last 15 years, just a year after that, we started this church. And through that whole process, how are we going to live? What are we going to do? How are we going to honor God? God has brought us so far and blessed us so much that now we're building a new home down Hilliard right here. And we've struggled a little bit because God has blessed us so much. And I know there's other people in here that have been blessed by God. And you're living in that double portion blessing. And you're almost guilty. You feel guilty almost, or you feel embarrassed to tell anybody because you don't want them to get the wrong idea. Let me tell you something. You need to give God glory for what he's done in your life. And if you're in here today, this congregation is very big. Between the 8:30 and the 11:30 and the 10 o'clock and everybody watching online, we've got people in every part of the spectrum. We've got people that are barely scraping by, don't know what they're going to do. And they're on food stamps right now. We got people in the congregation that have more money than they'll ever need, and they've been living on the other side of the double portion blessing. And so please listen to what I'm saying. Regardless of where you are on that spectrum, you've got to understand who you are. If you are struggling, you got to understand the Father's going to take care of you. He's going to lift you up. He's going to lift your head. He's going to put a bounce in your step. This is just a season that you're going through. It may be a two-year season. We ate beans for a couple years. I mean, there was a season. We still eat beans. Hey, amen. We love beans. So if you're on that side of it, you got to understand who you are. Then if you're on the other side, you better understand who you are too. You didn't get to where you got to because of you. You got to where you got to because of God who provided for you. And so you don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to be ashamed. You can give God glory in whatever stage of life that you're in. So let's pray right now. Would you join with me? If you're not living in this position of a firstborn, I want to welcome you to the family right now. The enrollment is open. We are receiving new family members today. I don't care where you came from, what kind of parents you had, what you've been doing in your life. The Bible is very clear to you today. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the firstborn of all firstborns, you become a child of God, and you're not distantly connected or related. You become a part of the assembly of the firstborn. You become a firstborn child of God. And so it's not really complicated, but it is hugely important. It's simple, but it's really heavy at the same time. It doesn't take a whole lot of work or effort, but it is so important to surrender your heart. So if you're here today, I want to pray with you today. You can jump into this as well. Maybe you're already a believer in Jesus. I want to encourage you. If you're already a believer in Jesus and you didn't understand that firstborn status, start walking in that today. Start opening your eyes and your ears to what God's going to do in your life today. There's going to be, the last 3 years, in December, we've always had a special offering. And I want to just go ahead and throw this seed out into your mind. Start thinking about it. In December, we're going to have a special offering that's going to go to several different initiatives outside of Promised Land. I want you and your family to be thinking and praying about what you can give financially to that over and above your regular giving to your local church. So you're going to have about 6 weeks to get that thought about and figured out. And I want you to think about it. This is a firstborn opportunity for us to really give. So think about that. Let's pray right now. Would you join with me? Heavenly Father, what a privilege and an honor it is to gather together with other firstborn children today. And not just look at each other and go, wow, look at us. Look how good we are and all that. No, but have a humble heart. Have a heart that is longing for you, God, and wanting to be with you, God, and wanting to love those that you love. Taking the responsibility to be a representative of you. There's people in here today that you have not surrendered your heart to God. You want to be in on this? Let's pray right now. Would you join with me? Say, Lord, I give you my life today. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I trust in you, Jesus, as my Savior. I look to you, God, as my Lord. You have all power. You have all authority. You are the way. Please help me with my past. I surrender my life to you. I want to live for you. From this day forward, I want to be a firstborn. Lord, I receive that responsibility today. Why don't we all just tell God that right now? Lord, I receive that responsibility today. I receive that firstborn status today. I receive it. I receive it. I may not feel like it. I may look at my facts of my life and they may point to something else, but God, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to live by faith and not by sight. I am a firstborn. I confess that, Lord, I am a firstborn. And so, Lord, I want to see what you can do with my life, with my talent, my time, and my treasure. I want to see what you can do with my gift, my offering to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you clap your hands right now with me?